Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Tater. My co-host is Bill Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Vic Tater Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Vic Tater. Okay, we're all on the air. Neil, how you doing?
Could be better.
That's you anytime. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, top of the world.
You know, we were talking, you know, before the, going on the air, you know, and it made me think of something, you know, when I heard my voice. I was trolling this dude on a forum the other day. And I don't do this often, but when I do, I'm masterful at it. And this guy said he was going to punch me in the face. So we kept going back and forth, and I convinced him that I was only 5'5" and I weighed 150 pounds. Because I'm hoping to God, you know, that he's crazy enough to try to find me.
Ooh, I'm not because when I come to the door.
Yeah, he doesn't, you know, he's not aware that I'm a giant psycho. You know, that's what I always tell people. It's like, I'm not, you know, it's always told me, they said size doesn't matter, so there's only one way to find out, isn't there?
No, it's like that Simpsons episode where Nelson's taunting the guy in the small car. I always have, yeah. He gets out of the car, I always have the opposite effect. It's like, I get out of the car and they become even more emboldened.
That's like this, it's like, do you have a problem with how I look when I'm driving my automobile?
Many people need vehicles. This is the only one I can afford within my price range.
I wish they would have used that guy more often.
Well, they said there's not really much to him.
Well,
they
it's
said
just
that
voice.
They would get letters, like on The Critic, and they would tell him, they say, use Easter Island kid more. And they said, you know, we really can't figure out what else to do with him.
He's a one-gag character.
They did bring back a really tall guy in one episode at a Cheech and Chong concert when everybody was getting contact time.
Oh, that's right.
He's like,
yeah.
And he's like,
yeah,
I don't see what's so funny.
Like, that's the third time, because the second time was when they were driving to New York, and Homer woke up, it's like, Marge, I can't figure out your legs, and he's beating on his legs, and it's a really, really tall guy behind him.
Okay, so, you know, a couple of things happened this week. Fred Willard got arrested for masturbating in a porn theater.
What happened? Which,
well, you know, that's one of these stories that makes me think the world really is going to end.
He's such like a grandpa figure.
And, you know, the thing is, you know how me and you sort of killed Mike Awesome and Bison Smith?
Yeah, among others.
I'm beginning to think I am cursed because I was reading about Fred Willard the night before on the AV Club, and then I was watching an episode of Fernwood tonight.
See, now you don't even have to talk about him.
Yeah, it just has to be on my mind, so I'm very scared no matter what I do, and I feel like if I try to manipulate the power, like if I try to say, boy, I really like Joe Arpaio in Arizona. He's a great guy. I hope he never gets murdered. I feel like something else would happen.
Yeah, he'd win a Senate seat.
Yeah, so, okay, Dallas this week. The show, it was good the first few weeks, but it's really become great now because the guy playing John Rawls, he's really coming to his own.
Yeah, I can get over the fact that he's 5'5 now, and I couldn't do that at the beginning. I mean, you know, you'd figure that the son of J.R. Ewing would be a big strapping guy, but I kind of like him being a little weasel.
Yeah, well, I guess Miss Ellie wasn't that tall.
Yeah, but all the boys are tall.
Yeah, it's just, you know, at this point, though, I hate Christopher.
Yeah, oh, God, he's such a whiny little douche.
Yeah, he's just he just feels like such an entitled little shithead.
Which is amazing when you think about it, because his dad is like the ultimate salt of the earth guy. And here you have this, you know, kid who's lived this privileged life and has absolutely no redeeming qualities about him.
I guess it's from being related to Kristen, having Kristen for a mom, genetics.
Well, that's a lot. That's a big hurdle to overcome.
You know, I keep expecting them to reveal JR actually is his dad.
You know, that I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, they tried it once, so who knows? Maybe maybe somebody paid someone to switch the DNA test.
Yeah, and you know, they teased it a few times later on where JR, even to the he wouldn't be surprised if he did belong to him.
Yeah, I remember Larry Hagman said that in an interview not that long ago, where he said, well, you know, we're fairly certain that JR isn't his father, but, you know, you can never be 100% sure. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, you can. Get the test.
It's probably one of those things they're scared what the answer would be. So, this week had a lot of big twists and turns, because, you know, John Ross been with this crazy bitch, that Marta woman, and John Ross decides to try to get rid of her by snitching on her to the Venezuelans.
Which weird for me it's so weird trying to take Tony Almeida seriously as a bad guy. Like, even on his last year of 24 where he was the bad guy, I didn't buy into it. But for whatever reason, when he uses the accent, he just seems so much more evil.
You know, and I remember when I saw the body hit the... when, you know, when they do the reveal where John Ross walks out, he sees her body on the hood of the car. I was watching it. I laid out audible. Holy shit!
It was funny because I was sitting there. And you're right, dude. It's like the most ultimate Dallas reveal, where it's like you don't hear the glass break, you don't see the person fall. He just gets out of the elevator, he walks out, and oh wow, she's dead.
And I did like. Did you see the preview for next week?
Yes. Holy crap!
I love that with Bobby. You know, Bobby circling the wagon.
Bobby's like, and here's the thing, he's right now he's going to be worried about getting John Ross out, and he has absolutely no idea that South Fork has been signed over, basically.
Well, he tried to tell him, you know, John Ross actually did finally try to come clean.
Yeah, well, as close as he comes to coming clean.
It's like, Uncle Bobby, they're going to cut me.
You don't
understand. And Bobby's like, yeah, well, fuck you, John Ross.
Dude, what's the, like, what do you think the deal is with Anne?
Well, now, I'm trying to think, if this was a different show and I saw the old picture, I swear to God, I'm trying to think that Miss Ellie had a bastard child and that they're brother and sister.
Oh, God. See, I was thinking more along the lines of she got drunk.
Is this because you've been watching Power Rangers RPM and that's all you can think about with Judd Lynn?
It might be. I don't know why. I keep coming up with things about storylines about incest. I have to stop this.
You just need to watch more attitude era wrestling.
Yeah, it's like I'm trying to figure out what it is, you know, and I'm still wondering if she actually if she's the same person that slept with Cliff on the old show. Because, you know, she had one appearance on Brenda Strong did where she had a one-night stand with Cliff.
Oh, jeez, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, and Cliff was all like this. She's like, why don't you loosen up? And, you know, and Pam had just got in, left or something, got burned up, and he's like, bitch, get out of my house.
That was the best Cliff, was when he just stopped caring.
Yeah, JR would try to get his best. He's like, dude, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's like he went from the bleeding heart to the absolute, like, poor man's version of JR.
And eventually he just doesn't even give a shit. Somehow he's like George Costanza. You remember when George started doing the opposite of everything, doing the opposite of his instincts, and he kept doing, you know, great?
Yeah, because every instinct he had to that point was wrong.
Yeah, that's what happened with Cliff. I realize it seems like recently that this is the first time JR has admitted that Cliff is dangerous.
Yeah, you know, because he always dismissed him.
And maybe it's because JR's been kind of stuck in a nursing home, so he knows that while he's been, you know, in this chronic depression, that Cliff's been amassing a fortune.
You know, it's,
of course, I keep waiting for them to get robot armor.
They're just going to have their bodies transported, their minds transported into robot bodies.
Oh, man, that'd be sweet. Yeah. You remember how the old Lex Luthor armor looked?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I picture that for JR, but with the colors of the Texas flag and two longhorns on the helmet.
And a big Dallas Cowboys star.
Yeah, in the center.
And Cliff's would just be two, like, smoking skulls with two bony middle fingers.
No, I was thinking, yeah, lungs, Lone Star Cannon, fire!
Well, you know, Neil had a dream one time about a year ago where he dreamed about a G.I. Joe Dallas crossover.
Now, keep in mind this was a fever dream because I was having a bad stomach virus and was stuck throwing up. So basically, take it as you will.
Well, anyway, and I thought it was preposterous, but then I started thinking about it, and you really could do the crossover. Like, JR decides to try to use Cobra to get in on an oil deal, and the Joes have to go to Bobby and Ray. Yeah, then they did the terrorist storyline.
When you think about it, JR was an economic terrorist, so, yeah, I mean, I could
see
it.
Well, the thing is, I was dreaming that JR was basically trying to weasel his way with words, the Cobra Commander, not realizing that Cobra Commander and Deathstroke and all this, basically, he's going to have none of it. They're gonna do the opposite of whatever he says.
Well, no, you can manipulate Cobra Commander. It's God help you if Serpentor's in charge.
Oh, yeah, dude, if Serpentor caught wind of it, he'd just catch a Cobra right to the heart.
Yeah, that'd be it. Okay, another thing we've been talking about this lately, been meaning to, is Regular Show.
Holy crap. Best show on television.
It really is. You know, I had this feeling for some reason. I always feel like it was a stealth Ashwood show.
Yeah, that's about as close as... Yeah, that's a really good comparison.
That was my thought. When did you start watching it?
Right after you suggested it, after I'd been started watching Adventure Time. And
yeah.
I think I've seen every episode now.
Yeah, it's like I said, you know, and as I've been saying, you know, the episode when Muscle Man got dumped by his girlfriend. Like,
oh,
that
no.
was my... That was 2 years of my life. It's like, my heart beats for Starla.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, I like to think that I'm Mordecai, but in reality, I'm like...
You're Rigby.
Really, yeah, I'm Rigby with, like, maybe even a little bit of Pops thrown in.
Well, Victor's nephew says that I'm Pops, and I don't see how or why.
Well, Neil, you do kind of look like Pops if your head was more giant. You got a kind of a Faye attitude.
No, I don't.
You're not quite Faye, but you're not quite Faye because you're not, like, into it. It's just more Faye just by the default of being tough.
Vic, don't mistake Neil's kindness for weakness.
No, it's weakness. Actually, Neil's probably got psycho power when he gets really angry. It's just when we met early on, we figured out that I'm actually even more of a psycho. You know, so Neil can't use his little brain.
I'm like Capital G from that episode of Dexter's Lab when they try to fight the giant monster in Japan. Try to use all his powers and it still only goes like to his knee.
Yeah, no, he was like the guy's belly butted. So anyway, what's your favorite episode of Regular Show?
Oh, God. I have to say the one that I find myself going back to the most is Mordecai and the Rigbones or whatever it was when they start the
Mordecai
band.
Mordecai and the Rigbees.
Yeah, Mordecai and the Rigbees. Just because they never even bother explaining how they got the British accents.
They just figured that's what you do when you become a rock star. Did you see the one when Rigby changed his name to Trash Boat?
Yes. Trash
and
Boat.
Hey, Trash Boat. I honestly want to change my name to the Velvet Overkill.
Hey, which one used the Velvet Overkill?
And one of them was named Crocodile Death Speed.
Yeah, dude, it's to
Did
the point now where I have Mordecai and Rigby as my ringtone.
What is it?
It's them singing Ring Tone, Pick Up Your Phone, just over and over.
I think my favorite episode is probably the one with the summertime song.
Oh, God.
That's a great one. I thought about using that as my ringtone, too, but just didn't
yeah,
have
to. Yeah,
the one that sent me the YouTube that basically had the summertime song for like 10 hours straight?
Yeah, he's the one that showed it to me.
Oh, God.
I couldn't get very far. I like when he goes, they said, Pops, keep the summertime song busy. But I hate that song.
Pops doesn't hate anything.
And Pops is like, you know, he's dancing very reluctantly, trying to keep it busy. And it had one of my favorite Muscle Man jokes, because they said, Muscle Man blows a mean piece of brass.
Piece of brass.
But you know who else blows a mean piece of brass?
My mom. That's also my ringtone for when my mom calls.
Yeah, I said something like back a few months ago, and it made me sad. It was like, hey, you want to know who else has been dead for 4 years? Man.
Oh,
now I'm sad. It's like I made myself sad.
Dude,
just did the episode Monday.
There's a new one on Monday?
They brought back his girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Muscle Man.
It was basically they went to a fancy restaurant.
Muscle Man and her dad do a double clothesline.
Oh, God. I'm not exaggerating when I say I have 42 episodes on my DVR right now. So it's like I try to knock out like 4 or 5 a night. And then as soon as I get it down to about 10, I won't watch it for a couple days, and there'll be like 50 more on there.
Well, you know what another thing I like about the show is the fact that they'll put licensed music into the episode.
Yeah, seriously. Like when I bought the DVD, I thought for sure they'd take it out, and the only song they took out was Tom Sawyer.
Wait, they had Tom Sawyer in an episode?
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was, but I distinctly remembered it because the music they replaced it with was like a Tom Sawyer sound-alike.
Well, you know, I was watching the episode. You know, have you seen the episode of Carl Weathers?
No.
As the God of Basketball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that one.
Okay, and they start playing, what's the name of that song? You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, they're having the big struggle through space, and they get back to Earth, they said, time travels faster in space.
Dude, they've used, like, seriously every iconic song on that show. Like, they used the song from Caddyshack in the very first episode.
Had Hanging Tough? I'm trying to remember.
The video
really
game
one
with Billy Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, the headed Billy Mitchell.
My wife was watching that one with me, and she was like, wow, New Kids on the Block, huh? I was like, yeah, they spare no expense.
Yeah, it's fun, yo, and it's fun to watch them with kids, yo, because they they do good anime shows. It feels like every time they take two good ones off, they usually fill the void. Because I used to watch Chowder and Flapjack with the kids, and honestly, I've been watching them by myself.
Speaking of new cartoons, I haven't watched too many of them, but it seems pretty good, and it might have some legs. There's a show, there's actually a new cartoon on Disney Channel called Gravity Falls.
I just started watching that.
You did?
It's pretty good. It's goofy. It's really, really goofy. And it's like,
yeah, but it seems to be the good
like,
goofy. Like,
yeah. It's like you gotta explain
like
it to the kids.
It's one of the few cartoons where they actually have basically a girl character that's not like the sarcastic, you know, type like from like Billy and Mandy or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But she's not like a disc like Dee Dee from Dexter's Lab. Just kind of there. I don't know if it's regular show good, but it's pretty decent enough.
Regular shows, honestly, it's like they took the mentality of regular show to do an Adult Swim cartoon, but do it for kids.
That's what I think I like the most about it. Same thing with
the thing is, having those restrictions put on writers, that tends to actually help. Because you'll watch a lot of Adult Swim shows, some of them are good.
Some of them are just
but
gross
usually they just kind
of
just
for the sake of being gross.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't work. One thing I don't understand about the way regular show can get licensed songs, do you watch Venture Brothers?
I watched the first couple seasons.
Okay, well anyway, they tried to get a licensed song. They got one for the first season. They said the music licensing cost so much that it took off a third of the episode's budget.
Jeez.
So I'm trying to figure out how regular show can get the money to do these regularly, but Venture Brothers can't get it for one episode.
I think they get more. I think they get more money for the actual standby, actual Cartoon Network shows than they do for Adult Swim. Because
probably,
they really
because
don't try to spend
more.
Too much on Adult Swim stuff.
And you know they
I guess,
rerun.
I guess they can't get as much merchandise or anything from it.
Well, it's actually probably more reruns because you know the shows that are on during the day they can rerun those like 100 times.
Actually, do they have any regular show merchandise now? Because I know you can
they
get
have
of them, like a
T-shirt
characters.
I'm pretty sure they've got stuffed Mordecais and Rigby's now too. But yeah, they have the Mordecai and the Rigby shirt. I think they have a Pop shirt.
What would it be to get like a Muscle Man plush?
That'd be awesome.
It'd be like one of the WWF slammies where you like slam it and it says something.
Yeah, you know, they're actually bringing those back.
Oh, great.
Well, I'm excited for it because Connor has been brutalizing Care Bears. I mean, he slams them, he gives them brain busters, power bombs. He said, take that. Then he picked up his little plastic chair and he beat it for 10 minutes.
I remember when my oldest nephew was 3, he had like a little, he had a Homer Simpson doll and he had like a little fold-up chair. And he'd sit there and he'd take the fold-up chair and open it up and put Homer's leg in it and jump on it from the couch.
Okay, and here's the thing about it. I was telling Neil this, you know. Sometimes when you have a kid, you know, see, you're a little kid, the reason they can get in trouble sometimes because as an adult, we're sane and we don't think like them. You know, so I'm sitting on the couch and I'm watching Connor. He picks up a carrot. He sits it on the couch. I don't think nothing about it. I just keep watching TV because, you know, I'm sitting right in front of him. He picks up a metal folding chair. He sits it right in front of the couch. And I'm thinking, what's he doing? Because I'm not thinking anything about it because I'm sane. All of a sudden, he runs across the room, jumps on the chair, and does air sabu on the Care Bear.
Sweet.
I'm like this. I'm saying, what the hell are you doing, Connor? And he's like, I'm just playing. And then his brother does it. And it's like, damn it, Dylan, you're 8 years old.
You should know better.
They're still very impressionable, obviously.
Yes, which, I mean, it's awesome, you know, but I didn't want him to get hurt doing it.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because when I was 20, my roommate and I would get drunk, and I would run down the hallway, jump off of a fold-up chair, and land on the ledge of the couch, and then do air sabu off of the couch.
Yeah, they love sabu, you know. They watch wrestling, you know, and Connor's favorite wrestler is the Big Boss Man.
That's awesome.
I thought it was Kane.
Kane's moved down a little bit. He still likes Kane, but as far as, like, wrestlers overall, it's Big Boss Man, Million Dollar Man, and Vader.
It's
hard to go
now,
wrong.
Now, they did get... No, well, he still likes Kane. He got into a fight with his brother because his brother likes CM Punk for some reason. Dylan, I think because his dad told him, but anyway, he likes CM Punk. CM Punk is taking on Kane on Raw. And Kane wins the match because it's non-title or whatever that shit is they do now to get out of having to change a title or whatever. And Connor's getting up, jumping up and down, celebrating, going, yay, Kane, yay. Dylan's pouting. He's like, he said, be quiet, Connor. And Connor gets mad and punches Dylan in the mouth.
That's awesome.
Suddenly they're on the floor rolling around, and I'm having to break both of them up. Because if you've seen Connor, you know, Connor is built like an old-time bodybuilder.
He's got the Michelin Man build.
No, not quite that, you know, but he's got like the Charles Atlas build. Like, he's got the wide chest and the big arms. You know, I said he hits like Vader. Like, you know, I wish I had taught him how to throw a punch when he was one.
You know what's the funniest thing about wrestling is finding somebody who, like, you would never guess was a huge wrestling fan? It's like, I work with this lady who was, like, in her 60s, and I don't remember what it was. It's like, somehow we got on the topic of wrestling one day, and I guess, like, back in the 60s and 70s, she used to go to the Cow Palace in San Francisco and watch, it was called Big Time Wrestling. It was Roy Shire's promotion. She knew, like, all about Nick Bockwinkel and Ray Stevens.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap. And, you know, just this lady I would have never thought liked wrestling.
The thing about wrestling is, you know, as a fan and what I liked about when I was a kid, it's like you're entering into a secret society, you know, and the world kind of shits on wrestling, and that makes you kind of love it more because you feel like it's yours.
Yeah.
You know... I remember I saw this dude at the fair, the Daikin fair, they were having in Decatur, and I was wearing my Mark Henry shirt, and I walked by this dude, and he's wearing the John Cena shirt, the new one, the green one, and we meet each other's eyes like we're Masons or something.
Give each other that slight nod.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like we're brothers or something.
Yep.
Yeah, so let me see here. Some stuff I was trying to cover, but it's like shit, my brain kind of mush right now. You know, I started on the blog, Will, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's a good dude. He's going to be doing some writing for my blog.
Oh, that's cool.
Because, you know, I want to get in some new people to do some of the fiction. Because, you know, I have ideal. Because, you know, of course, I'm a super genius, so I have a million ideals or whatever. But, you know, we were talking, you know, and he had some ideals. So, you know, I'm offering a few people if they want to do it, you know, give them a chance to write stuff. You know, and all I can say is, if I get paid, you get paid.
Right on.
You know what I mean? Like, if I find money somehow, I promise you'll be the they'll be the first people I find.
Yeah, dude, your blog inspired me to start putting together a webcomic about Vitaly from the old message board. It's going to be me and Vitaly on a road trip to WrestleMania.
Oh, how far along are you? Are you doing what I do and just do stick figures?
No, actually, that's the cool part. My girlfriend and her boyfriend bought a house like three doors down from us, and he's an artist. So I'm just writing out the storyboards, and I'm going to give it to him to flesh out.
Yeah. Neil's an artist in theory, but I kind of have to go around to Neil, and I have to just prod him, literally beat him. You know, that's how Stan Lee got production out of Jack Kirby.
There you go.
And that's the thing about it. And the thing about Neil is, the best way to get good work out of Neil is if I offhandedly compare him to Rob Liefeld, he'll draw up a fucking storm and then hand me a picture and say, "Is that Rob Liefeld, motherfucker?" Like, or if I even act like I'm going to find another artist, this one, Neil won't admit it, but this does motivate him.
That's the only thing that motivates any of us, is the fear of being replaced.
You know, because I'll just say, you know, oh, that right there. Otherwise, because Neil doesn't respond to praise well for some reason.
He must have received it sparsely as a child.
Yeah. Is that it, Neil?
No.
That sounded like a yes to me.
Yeah, I said me and Neil are going to have a cop show. It's going to be called Dictator and the N-Word.
Got three episodes out of it.
The N-word goes to Harlem.
It's the Christie Comedy Classes, live at the Harlem Theater.
The Apollo Theater.
Hey! KKK. That's no good.
This reminds me that Zoidberg performed at the famed Apollo Theater once and got rejected.
Have you ever
they
heard,
never showed this?
Have you heard Billy West explaining that voice?
No.
He said it was, like, based off of some, like, old vaudeville comedian. I can't remember. He said the guy's name. Him and John DiMaggio were on the Nerdist last month. And he, like, explained the origin of that voice. And it was, like, the guy like, was just this horrible, hacky comedian. And he'd get up in front of everybody and like, say, "I called my mother last week." And I said, "Hello, mother, this is John." "Yes, John from the money each month." And that was the origin of the voice, of some two-bit comedian.
You know, they killed Calculon.
Yeah, wasn't a fan of that.
No, I'm not either. Calculon better be fucking coming back.
I mean, he's a robot. It's obviously you can just reboot a robot.
Yeah, haters gonna hate. Calculon does everything in one take.
Amateurs like you need more than one take. Oh crap, we only got like a couple seconds left.
Yeah, I think we did a pretty good show this week.
We did.
Okay, you know, if you want to come back next week, if I'm not dying or depressed or something. We can do it again. Talk about whatever happens on Dallas.
Or yeah, we got to get to the dead wrestlers too.
Oh yeah, I was trying to think, you know, and it's like my brain just fucking. I always say I'll take care of it on the air. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming.
Hey, no problem, guys. Take it easy.
You too.